Good evening and welcome to the Power Hour. The Power Hour is about prayer, and that's made possible because of one person, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 14 verses 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life to the full. And it's about living life to the full that Gospel for Grampian is about. And the prayer is made possible because we're speaking to God. We're speaking to God using his word. We're speaking to God about things that are on our hearts, and that's been made open to us because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross and for each and every one of us. And because Jesus did that, that makes us children of God. It also places us into a daily battle. And so we have actually entitled this Battle Stations. Tonight is Battle Stations, but each and every day is Battle Stations for all of us. Perhaps, Fiona, you'd like to give a little bit more input into this subject.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Rob. Good title. Power Hour. Battle Stations. So, let's set the scene, as we always do. A few weeks ago, we were talking about glittering ambassadors. And then we were looking at the Jewish New Year, and it's called the Year of the Ruling Sword, this year of 5777 in the Hebrew calendar. And then 2 weeks ago, we had a Power Hour, Call on His Name. So as we look at our journey of faith, where do we start? We could look at David. He became a glittering ambassador. He was a shepherd boy. But overnight, he became the latest talk of the town, I imagine, the latest celebrity with his little sling. He suddenly elevated his status and stepped into a different...
a different situation. He was bold enough to take that step, and he knew who he is serving, just like we ourselves declare our faith, and that's what we're meant to do each and every day. We are in a battle. A battle, though, against what? And when you look at the news these days, Fiona, you think, who do you believe? We've had, and I know you've been watching, for example, the presidential elections. You've for the American president. You've heard submissions from both. You've read newspaper reports. One said this, one said that. Who said what, when, why? And these things can, in the minds of people, just get confused. Who do you believe? Well, there's one person I know I can believe, and that's God. And when you draw close to God in prayer, and especially with other people, that's when amazing things can happen, because we find that we are talking from the same sheet. We find that we are realizing that things that we are experiencing and hearing are the same. And even during this week, I think we've found that things that we've been talking about have been the same.
Well, yes, it's interesting because I've been looking, some of the news I've been looking at is the spokesman of Christianity. For instance, Archbishop Justin Welby was opening up on same-sex marriage and suffering with Jeremy Vine. Bishop Desmond Tutu was quoted as saying he'd like the option of assisted suicide. And the Church of England has said that they're making vicars all the same. And one of the retiring deans there actually said, perhaps now is the time to call for more rebels. I'll just go into that and see what he was referring to.
Surely a church should be standing together.
Well, Let me just read this. The retiring Dean of Peterborough has said the Church of England slowly making clergy all the same into one bland, uniform ideology. The very Reverend Charles Taylor made the comment in his final sermon as Dean of the area's cathedral, amid rumours his resignation was forced due to money issues. At one point, it looked like Peterborough Cathedral staff weren't going to be paid over the summer. However, the church commissioners, which have £7 billion in investments, provided a loan. The very Reverend Charles said actions were being taken to make the cathedral more solvent. The priest claimed the Church of England didn't necessarily view the cathedral and others like it favourably because of the independence they might exert, financially or theologically. According to the Church Times, he said it certainly does not conform to the ecclesiology, if one can call it that, of those who would like to see power concentrated at the centre. In order to impose a bland, uniform theology, if one can call it that, which runs counter to the very essence of Anglican diversity. Where, among the leaders of today, are the colourful clerics and the turbulent priests, the prickly prophets, the rebels and reformers? It is surely of salutary significance that newly appointed deans and bishops these days are sent on an induction course, not as you might think to hone their skills in theology or liturgy, community outreach or pastoral care, but to take a mini MBA. The pattern of the Good Shepherd has been hijacked by the model of the Chief Executive Officer. The Bishop of Peterborough, Right Reverend Donald Alistair, has called Mr. Taylor a man of the highest integrity and probity. Well, that's amazing.
Yes. In one short word.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
So there you have it. So the Church of England is calling for rebels. And, you know, he doesn't want this uniformity. They don't want to have this sameness. You know, he's basically speaking, you know, asking us to be more like Jesus and to go out and to do stuff. And, you know, this week we've been looking as well at trust. Trust in churches. Trust in, you know, who do you trust? Moses was talking to us this week, our new volunteer here, Moses Michaels, about the power of three. Jesus had James and John in his inner circle, and they were the only three who were there with him when he went up to the mountain of travail. And Moses was teaching us this week about the structure of the church. He talked about the number three, the 12, the disciples, and then the 70 who broadcast the good news in twos, the message of the church, who saw the miracles, and then on to the 5,000 who were listening, and some would listen and some would not, and some would go their own way. And so, you know, the church has developed into this huge organisation, and in itself it's almost a huge battleground. And
it's a monolith almost.
Yeah, it's and you know, on the world stage at the moment, we have got a battle taking place, a political battle. You know, the final battle is going to be between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Is going to be round three. It sounds like it's going to be they make it sound like it's a knockout, a boxing tournament. That's going to be on Wednesday. And also today happens to be the 950th anniversary of the Battle of Hastings, where England's history could have been a lot more different if England had actually won that battle. But actually, France won the battle, and we ended up with William the Conqueror as our king over Harold the Anglo-Saxon king. And, you know, we ended up with a French king.
Imagine that.
And he's very famous. Everybody's heard of him.
Yes.
But has anyone heard of Harold the Anglo-Saxon?
I think they'd heard of William the Conqueror because he actually won. But you don't always hear about the loser.
So it's interesting, who you think is going to win might not be the person who's going to win, and the person you expect to lose might not be the loser. So battles are very, very interesting, and, you know,
there's only one person, I mean, that we can have our eyes on, and that's Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. He's our Saviour, and we're here on air to declare this But he's more than that. Just like, I'm just thinking, not so much to bring a musical note to this. In a choir, you get people in the choir watching the conductor, but at the same time, they are listening carefully to what the other members of the choir are singing. So I would be standing at the back and somewhere croaking along with the basses and trying to hear what they are singing. But in the front, you've got people who are singing different notes, totally different notes, and that can be off-putting. And so it's a little bit like that in the church. We get people singing all sorts of things, and it's not always in harmony. And not all of us in the church are looking to the conductor. Not all of us are looking to the leader. Some are saying one thing, some are saying another. And in the end, I think a lot of people tend to give up. And now is not the time to give up. We are in a battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle in this case is against the powers and dominions of this dark world. And you have only to look round at the news. And you have only to look even in and around the local area here. And you'll see vestiges of things. Why is that there? And other things like these clowns wandering about scaring children. Or apparently just to be fun. But they're scaring children. And it's all part of this powers and dominions. There's lots of stuff going on that we don't understand. Who can we trust? Well, Fiona and I have found that there's only one person we can trust, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in him can we trust. And one of the things we're praying for here at the station, like we're coming back to the choir again, is about unity. When the choir is singing in harmony, they are in unity. And they are responding to the conductor. When the church is in unity, they are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and responding to him, but also to the things that God tells us to respond to. He shows us people who are in need, people in communities. Jesus went out into the communities. Jesus went out to the people who were hurting. He didn't go out and say, everyone, go and get an MBA and this and that and other. He went out and he challenged thinking. And we need to be modelling ourselves on what Jesus did. If we did model ourselves on Jesus, what would the world be like today, I wonder?
And we've also talked this week in terms of going out, why we want to go out and what's the reason for, you know, going out. We've talked about taking possession. This is a word that's often bandied around the Christian world. And this week you've mentioned to me, you know, Fiona, let's take possession of Bucky, Falkirkburs, Fraserburgh, Peterhead, Montrose and Ballater. Let's increase our radio station
coverage
to 70 miles. Let's believe for that. Let's take possession of the land. And these are military terms that you're speaking. And I understand it as a Christian where you're coming from. I mean, many of our scriptures that we're taking tonight are coming from the Old Testament, which are full of battles. And but, you know, these words are still relevant today. We are in a battle. You know, there are Christians today who are literally battling for their lives. We've had Asya Bibi this week, who's had a stay of execution for her life. She's been in prison for 10 years. She hasn't seen sunlight for a year, all because she took water to her Muslim colleagues. And they've accused her of blasphemy. And now all of Pakistan is in uproar about this. The judges are in fear for their lives. Other people have lost their lives because of this case. And if she does win this case, then she'll have to go into hiding. Her family are already... What an enormous battle, that woman and her family. And all for what? For giving water. For giving water.
For compassion.
For compassion. That Jesus asked us to do this. I mean, God help us. This really is ridiculous, isn't it? And, you know, people talk about nuclear war as well. And this current climate is very hot. You know, who's got the finger on the button? What might so-and-so do if so-and-so presses the... It's scary stuff.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, all we can do is to do our bit.
Mm.
And it's now time for the church to rise. Time for the church to become part of what it should be. Time for the church to take part of it, their heritage, and take back the ground that they've lost. And we are going to in a little bit later on actually be physically claiming those areas. But right now, I think we ought to just put things into prayer. Just initially prayer, because this is about prayer. This program is about prayer. And we can't have a prayer program without that, can we? Let's do it. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard in our hearts. You've heard our words. You've heard and you know the confusion of people. Who do you believe? Lord, we have stated clearly that we believe that you are Lord and Saviour. And we've spoken about that. But yet, Lord God, so many people, they don't know that. They're confused by all the media hype, and they're confused about who they can actually trust in life. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, please make it so very clear to people who they can trust, and that one person is you. Lord God, people are hungry, Lord God, for something different, something real. And Lord God, we know that things, and it's not about flesh and blood, but against the powers and dominions of this dark world. They are behind all of the evil that is going on in the world, here in the city as well as in Scotland, as well in the world, Lord God. And Lord God, the enemy would love us to be afraid. But yet, Lord, you told us not to be afraid. You've told us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests before you. Lord, you've shown us that your word is more powerful. You've given us power over all the power of the enemy. That's what your word says. We have trust in you. And your word tells us, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that is the case. And that you have gone already before us in this. The battle has already been won. But yet, Lord, you have placed us there to stand up for what we believe in. And we're praying right now that the people, your body, would stand up. Be counted. Stand up, believe. Stand up, proclaim. Stand up, take back the ground which has been lost. And be ready for you with our hearts and minds. Be ready to reach out. Reach out in unity. Reach out and respond in love, in kindness, humility, and gentleness. Not to even be worried about being compassionate to people, Lord, but rather let love and compassion, just as you wanted it to be shown to people. Because there are more times, Lord God, when compassion and love win out, as opposed to when evil wins out. We thank you, Lord God, for that Asia Bibi has had a stay of execution. And Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would sort this mess out. Lord, that other people would be emboldened to be compassionate, to be loving, to take the cups of water to the people most in need. To show love to someone who is our neighbour. That's, Lord, what you've told us to do. So why is Asia Bibi being persecuted? Why is there all this rubbish going on? Lord, only you are able to intervene in that situation. And we give you thanks, Lord, that you can and you will. Only you, Lord God, are able to intervene in this situation where there is so much evil in the world. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us a way to do that. Amen. Fiona, have you got any more other scriptures and things? Because I've got a prayer which I'm going to say out over Aberdeen and out over Scotland, out over the UK. But if you've got anything else to add.
Yeah, I would like to read from the Book of Chronicles. It's quite a long chapter, so grab your Bibles. It's chapter 2, 2 Chronicles 20, which is in the Old Testament. And it's about Jehoshaphat defeating the Moab. Jehoshaphat defeats Moab and Ammon. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendour of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that looks over the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord, and that is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. What a great story.
Indeed, but yes, a true one as well.
It's true, and doesn't that resonate to exactly our world today, our political circumstances, the battles? There is so much in that story, and so many key words that sort of shout out at you.
And it's being ready to humble enough to realize that in ourselves we can do nothing, but in that, as we saw in that passage, it's about what God has done himself. He has done that, and so we are able to carry off the plunder, that the army was able to carry off the plunder. And in the same way, God is able to subdue all the enemies, so that it will be the righteous who will come forth and shine. If you put your trust in God, God is faithful, and God has said time and time again, "Do I not know the beginning from the end?" And yes, I would say to him, God, yes, you do. He has been faithful to me. He will continue to be faithful to me because I put my trust in him. And recognizing that I'm only human. And that's what we need to do. Put our trust in God. And very soon, Fiona, what I'm going to do is let us be specific in our prayers. I am going to ask you to call up on that iPad a map of Scotland with the towns on it. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to read out that list of towns as part of the prayer which I'm going to pray. We're going to be specific, praying not only for this area of Torrey, but of Aberdeen and all the towns round about Aberdeen, throughout Scotland, for the UK. But it goes beyond that. It goes well beyond that, because we need to be praying for towns in countries we know not. I hope you can see that.
I can see the landmass, but I cannot see the actual names on the map, but we have the map in front of us. You've already given me some other names of the 70-mile radius.
And I'm sure other towns will actually come to us as we go along.
Yes.
But we have to do this, to be concise, to pray for these towns. This is a warfare situation. This is about battle stations. And we, as Christians, have to be ready to take our stand. To be ready for what God wants to do. Are you ready?
And do you remember as well earlier in the year that the Shield of Faith,
yes,
came around all of Scotland, and on I forget how many days it was now, but it went to all the strategic places, and it was wonderful. It came here to Aberdeen, and we took pictures of ourselves with this beautiful wooden shield, and that had a unity of response theme about it. And I believe that this weekend there is another big Prayer for Scotland rally taking place. So it's a very strategic week, and in the build up towards the end of October as well, where
there's all of that stuff
days
happening.
Are darker, and all other stuff is happening that we're not going to mention. And exactly, so we step up definitely, and we ask for a covering over the whole of all of Scotland.
And before I pray this prayer, could you look up Psalm 91? Because that really refers to even what we've just been talking about, that where the armies put their trust in God. And it's something I did refer to at the start of the programme. That he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And yes, when we trust in him, God is indeed ready. Have you got that one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perhaps you could read that one out and then we'll make this prayer.
Okay. This is from the King James Version, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Fiona. Now, we're going to be mentioning places not only here in Scotland, but places throughout the UK, where we can't think of a town. I might say, for example, Derbyshire or Yorkshire, but everyone who is perhaps listening to this as a podcast will know and be able to cite some of the places that we are not. So we encourage you to share this program with your friends. In the name of Jesus Christ, we present to you, Father, ourselves, our families, our churches, our neighbourhoods, our towns, villages and nation, and all the nations of the world and each person and area for which we're praying. And now, Lord God, we're going to be specific and to mention specifically this area, Torry, here in Aberdeen, but also all of Aberdeen, of Dyce and of Bucksburn and of West Hill and Elric, of Bankry, of Braemar and all the towns in between, of Stonehaven and Montrose and Arbroath and Dundee and Perth and Edinburgh and Glasgow, of Oban, of Thurso up in the north, of Ayrshire further south, of Berwick-on-Tweed and North Berwick, of Newcastle, of Gateshead, of Hull and Harrogate and Durham, and also of Penrith, Carlisle, Keswick as well, Lord, and coming down all the way through the UK, down into Manchester, down into Liverpool and Warrington, on down past Stoke-on-Trent, on down to Birmingham, and into Shropshire, and into Wales, North and South Wales. In North Wales there's Conwy, and in South Wales there's Swansea, and then over into the home counties, Aylesbury, and into London itself, and Crawley, and down into Littlehampton, and Worthing, and then further on down to Bath and Bristol, down towards Exeter and Plymouth and Penzance, Lord God, but then over into France, thinking about Paris. Can you think of some names in France that you could mention, Fiona?
Wow.
Lyon, for example.
Okay. Lyon.
Marseille.
Toulouse. Guillestre. The Alps.
St. Malo.
Maritime and Rhone. Nice. Avignon.
Auvergne. And these are just
Languedoc.
Only... Yeah.
Marseille. Paris.
Naturally. And then places in Brussels, in Belgium, for example, Brussels especially. But we also need to pray about Luxembourg. We need to pray about Germany. We need to pray about Holland, the Netherlands, Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia. Need to pray about Austria and Switzerland and Liechtenstein. Also needing to pray about Italy, and Greece and Hungary and Turkey, Latvia. Praying about the Ukraine, praying about Russia, including Moscow and Kiev and all sorts of other places. Praying about China, all the way into Malaysia, Asia, Thailand, also to New Zealand, into Africa and throughout Africa, including Nigeria, that I can think about, of Kenya, of Congo, and then thinking about Egypt and Iran and Iraq and all those places, Lord God. There's so many places, more countries, Lord, than we can even shake a stick at. But yet, Lord, you know each and every one. Praying about the United States, of Canada, praying into South America, of Bolivia and Peru and Chile and Venezuela and Brazil and Argentina. There's all these people, Lord God, that we pray for. Mexico, Lord God, and Panama, Lord God, and into India and Nepal, Lord God. I know we're doing this all over the place, Lord, but these are peoples, Lord God, that we would bring to you, all the nations of the world. By the power of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood and the holy word of God, we bind the power of Satan and all dominions of darkness seeking entrance into our lives and the lives of the ones for whom we're praying. We bind any demonic assignments spoken or sent against us, and we pronounce them to be of no effect. Even, Lord, bits of tape that are strung at various intervals in this city, they will be of no effect. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8. We proclaim the ways and works of darkness of all of us to be broken. We bind the satanic forces of nature from harm any property that we possess or area for which we're praying. And Hebrews 2 verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children of God have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Father, we ask you to dispatch the presence and power of your Holy Spirit and your holy angels to drive the devil from us and to cleanse those places where the enemy has gained a foothold. Holy Spirit, please come and manifest as a cleansing fire in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we resist and break all curses, hexes, spells, voodoo, fasting prayers, not of the Lord, occult, satanic and Masonic rituals, the power of all blood sacrifices and covenants, any and all witchcraft and sorcery sent against any of us or any area or transferred through the generational bloodline. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to break all strongholds of iniquity and rebellion in all of us. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you now to expose and to bring into light negative inner vows and strongholds that contradict your word and will. By the breath of your Spirit, please release your truth as a sword to expose falsehood, curses of self-rejection, self-hatred, reactive hatred, and bitterness toward others. We take up the sword of your word and cut ourselves free from the bondage of generational strongholds and ungodly character defects. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we renounce all relationships dishonouring to the Lord. Father, please break the power of soul ties of our minds and our emotions for ourselves and for these people. We now proclaim our and their freedom to be the children of Yahweh God, to live as he intended us to live, filled and overflowing with the light and power of his Holy Spirit, filled with the life and the love of Jesus Christ. We claim the full protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, over our individual lives, our marriages, our families, our possessions, our churches, nation, and for the people, areas, and situations we have lifted to you this day. You, O Lord, a shield about us. You are our glory and the lift of our heads. Psalm 3 verse 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you will say to Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you in all the lives, the situations and errors. We just lifted to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 3 verse 2. Thank you, Lord, that you will awaken our sleeping spirits and bring us into the light. Thank you, Lord, that you will transform us by the renewing of our minds daily in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you will pour out your spirit on us and reveal your word to us. Thank you, Lord, that you will give your angels charge over us in all our ways. Thank you, Lord, that we believe in you, Lord, and from our inmost being shall flow rivers of living waters. Thank you, Lord, that you will direct our hearts into the love of God and the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're asking this and also praying, Lord God, and believing and taking possession of all those places mentioned. And that by way of your spirit, that by way of setting up a network of FM and AM radio stations all around the world to broadcast the gospel and to promote unity of response. Now, Fiona, I believe you've got more to add to this, I'm pretty sure, because you told us you have got more Bible passages, and I'm pretty sure that you have something to follow on.
I feel particularly to pray for Pakistan at the moment, because it has been so much in the news about this Asia Bibi story. There is so much darkness and evil in the world. You know, and if we were going to sort of take any one story from this week, aside from the politics in America, which at times looks quite dark and evil, we can see, as we call out the names of those countries, that there are, a picture comes in your mind of what you associate with that country, and Pakistan just seems very dark, swirling and miserable. I didn't understand the gravity of this story until I really looked into it, the Asia Bibi story. I thought it was just, you know, a woman had been accused of blasphemy and that was an end of the matter. But this reaches so far and so wide to people being scared for their lives. Judges, thousands of people rioting across the country about this. And talk about making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, it is so ridiculous, but we really have to, you know, it is a spiritual battle. It is a spirit, and that it's incredible. It's just incredible darkness. I think the fact is, well, she hasn't been allowed to see the sun. It's almost like she's being denied and saying, no, no, the sun doesn't exist. There is no sun. And there's this huge cloud. And some evangelists would say that they wouldn't want to go into some areas of the world. They say that they identify sort of spiritual strongholds and there's big, dark sort of clouds and shadows over certain countries. I would never go there, and I wouldn't ever go there. I've heard that in Christian circles. So we need to literally pierce that darkness with our swords, with our prayers, and go up into the heavenlies and pray so that the sunlight can come through, because it only takes one stab in the right place for light to come in. And can you imagine, you know, if that was sunshine coming into the cloud that would go down to Asia Bibi, her cell, and
her hope in a dark place.
Yeah, and I mean, but literally, you know, I feel so sorry for her, just knowing that she's being locked up and she hasn't been able to even see the sun or the moon, apparently, for a whole year. And that really symbolises, I think, as well, the moon we associate with darkness, the sun with the day and with the light. You know, God spoke, Moses talked to us this week about creation. In fact, his new program on Monday morning, Moses Motivational Monday, is going to be talking about the book of Genesis and how God, you know, he created everything and it was dark, but he chose to flood it with light. This is how we have to be as Christians. So this is what we want to pray.
And I mean,
let there be light.
Let there be light.
Let there be light in these places.
And one thing Moses also mentioned today, he was actually recording the second, and he was just a little taster. The darkest hour is always before the dawn. And this is a fact that he was mentioning today. Mm. So whatever situation you are going through, the darkest hour is always before the dawn. We as Christians, believers, cannot afford to be prissy about saying, I will go here and not there. Because Jesus went into every place. He went into some dark places. And just when we are thinking we can't be really be in a dark place and alone, you're not alone, because Christ is there with you. And we have to pluck up the courage not only to pray actively, but also to go where Christ leads us, because he is the head of the army. As we were talking about before, listen out for him. And part of prayer is, in fact, listening out. At the start, actually, this would be a good time to bring in that scripture. That scripture from 2 Samuel 7:27. Because at the start of the day, Helen was, just to give a little bit of background context, Helen went to to the local church in Aberdeen, and the minister there was talking about 7:27, about even setting an alarm for this. So at 7:27 in the evening, the alarm would go off and would remind us of that scripture. And it's taken from 2 Samuel 7:27, which reads as,
Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. That's the New International Version. And let's read the King James Bible Version. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. What I like about that scripture is that God is saying, I'll build you this dynastic house. He comes to us first and says that he will do this. And then he says to the servant, to us, now you have the courage to pray for it. So God goes before us. It's not that we have to go to him pleading and begging him. He's already thought of what we need. He always goes before us, and that's exactly what's spoken of in that Jehoshaphat chapter in Chronicles 20, 2 Chronicles 20. He already has the answer. He goes before us, and this is where our faith comes into play. And, you know, we give thanks. That is a great scripture to wake up to, 2 Samuel 7:27. That's amazing.
Perhaps it's a good idea. People actually set their alarm for 7:27. But I should set your alarm for 7 o'clock on a Monday, because then you'll get to hear Moses' motivational Monday.
Yes.
Which will be good as well. Anyway, to come back to what we were talking about, and given another scripture as well, Proverbs 7, verses 2 to 4 this week. And it's really concerning God's word, about actually writing God's word down and burying it deep in your heart, and also seeking out wisdom and making understanding that one of your closest family members. And that happens in prayer, as we read God's word, as we digest God's word, as we seek God out. God will come to us and tell us about new things every single day, and he then equips us for the battle. We are not alone. We are not orphans, but we have a loving Father in heaven, and that access to that loving Father is made possible by Jesus Christ. I think it'd be good now to just say pray, taking account of this heritage that we have in Christ Jesus, that our listeners would fully understand, and that they would take more seriously prayer and seeking God out with his word, and actually being ready to listen. That goes for me too. Listen and seek God, so that we can walk with God And as we walk with God and in obedience, then we'll actually see changes as God works these things out. And it's by being obedient, by being compassionate, in spite of what we might fear otherwise. Because God speaks about five things, a number of important things. And these are things I pray about every single day. You might like to pray about them too. So the first thing I get on my knees for every day and pray for is one of God, the Bible passages, which says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So I get down and say, "Lord, I'm praying not only for me, but for the body of Christ, that we would seek your kingdom and your righteousness." The next things I get down and pray for, that we would have and develop fuller, deeper, greater, richer fruits of love. But then I include unity in spirit, unity in truth, unity of response, unity of purpose, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience, goodness, faithfulness. But also Jesus was about humility, about compassion, and about service. He spoke a lot about these things. And he told us to be bold, which I'm going to term audaciousness. So there are 17 things there. But as we pray about them, God makes them much more bold in our lives. And it's through prayer, through obedience, through love, through serving, that we can become the people God wants us to be. We need fear. We are not alone. God is with us, and he wants the very, very best for us. And he's given us the best through his son Jesus. He's given us the best through his spirit. And we're not just saying this from a point of view of some people, my colleague included, think it's just about, oh, you've been brainwashed. But it's not about being brainwashed. We're doing this because we love God. We love God because he first loved us. We love God because we have in our lives had experience of him. And that's what we're telling you right now. Let's take account of the wonderful heritage. Lord Jesus Christ, we've thought, Father God, we've thought about the wonderful things that you have done for us. We could look at the bad things and say we don't know how to cope with them and we feel so alone. But when we look at what you have achieved for us, when we look at what you achieved for Jehoshaphat, when we look at how you have defeated armies in the past, when we look at our own lives, at how when we have trusted in you, you have come through for us. And I'm sure that people listening to this might be able to recount in their own lives, Lord, how you've stepped in for them. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that as we realize that we're not on our own, that we would get down onto our knees, pray for your kingdom and your righteousness. Pray, Lord God, that we would have and develop truly greater, richer fruits of love, unity in spirit, unity in truth, unity of response, unity of purpose, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience, goodness, faithfulness, humility, compassion, and service, and audaciousness. Help us to be audacious for you, to go out and take the land back, to claim the land, to possess the land, to be ready, and to watch. That's another word that came through, to watch. Any Bible passages on that, Fiona?
Well, I was just going to bring up those very words, you know, that you just said there, the word possession and the word watch. You know, independently of, you know, speaking to each other this week, we both were given exactly the same word. You've been sending me a flurry of messages and, you know, you were getting very excited and saying, you know, get ready. And, you know, we have these what we call Rhema words in Christianity that you could say that there are watchwords, there are
buzzwords,
you know. Yes. you get them in industry, you get them in business. I'm sure Alan Sugar, or whatever he's called, Lord yeah. Sugar has got his watchwords. I'm sure Mary Berry, you know, you were quoting her.
Well, she actually says scrumptious,
that's yes, her watchword. But this week God gave us, you know, he said get ready, but independently we were both given the word watch. And I also went into a shop and found myself looking at watches the night before You told me that. I was astonished the next day, and I said, I went into a shop last night, and I was looking at digital watches because I need to have a watch that I can see in the dark. And this is what God is saying. He's literally telling us, you need to be able to see into the dark. Watch. And you understood the word watch, that he was saying to you, watch and see what I will do. You know, because he's saying, I'm God. Watch me. I will do this. What he said to Joshua,
yes.
Stand back and watch. Watch what I'm about to do. Well, hey, this is it.
And that's Psalm 91 as well.
You know,
you only look and see.
Yes, and I understood it as, you know, the day watch, the night watch. I came across an institution this week as well called Watch Women in the Church. I had never heard of them before, and I looked that up, and I was interested to read that. And also, when we were praying with Moses this week, and we were having our own communion here in the office with the meeting between the three of us, we were looking at Mark 14, Jesus' preparation to be the Passover lamb, the Last Supper, where he's speaking to the 12 disciples and saying, one of you will betray me. Jesus took them into his confidence. Trust was broken and trust was betrayed. As we were praying, I, in my mind's eye, was looking right into the face of a lion, right up close to his eye and his fur. It was very bold. You mentioned earlier about, you know, we have to be bold. We literally have to have the boldness of who would go up to the face of the lion. Who would go? Would you go and put your face in the face of the lion? But God calls himself the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And in my prayer, God showed me a face, and it was the face of a lion. But I wasn't afraid to be that close up to the lion. The lion is a symbol of strength. Some countries have it as their symbol. And, you know, so this week, these strong messages have come through to us, you know, and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. God wants us to take action. He's asking us to watch. He's asking us to step up to the watch, the night watch, the day watch. Take possession, pray, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. You know, we sing this song in church, yeah. And some churches we march around and everything. But
do people actually mean it?
Well, in certain denominations, they absolutely do. I mean, you know, we know that there is strong prayer being said over nations. There's strong prayer being said over political candidates at the moment. And those of us who believe and who know that prayer works, who understand it is not brainwashing. It is real. It is necessary. And one day everybody will be grateful when they realise that they have been, somebody has been praying for you. You may not understand it now, but you will one day. It will be revealed to you. And, you know, prayer is powerful. This is the power hour.
And we are most certainly about prayer. I think it'd be a good idea, Fiona, if you just wrap up the programme in prayer. There's a lot more, I think, that we could say, but yet God is a faithful God, and we need people to know that, and we would love and pray that you, the listener, would share this as a podcast with other people, and to let other people know, be encouraged, be enlightened. Stand up, pray, and be counted.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for standing with us. As we pray, as we watch, we are not alone. Like Nehemiah, who you encouraged to go and to rebuild the wall, and he stood with his shovel in one hand and his sword in the other, and his family behind him singing praises. We're also standing in this final hour, this final watch. You're calling us to be watchmen, watchwomen on the wall. You're calling your people to stand firm, to stand strong, to believe in the impossible, to believe that a wall can be built in 50 days, to believe that cities and nations can be rebuilt, regenerated, resurrected, that good men would stand up and would speak of your goodness, of your love and your light. Speak good words over people. Speak words of life, not words of death. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you always stand with us. You're always with us in the night hour. You never leave us. You never abandon us, no matter who we are. Small, big, famous, black, white, man, woman, child. You care for everybody, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, that you are all powerful, that you are mighty, that you are watching over us. Thank you, Lord, that you have confidence in us. We can put your trust in you, our trust in you. You do not betray us, mighty God. You are our friend. You will be with us forever to the end. We ask your blessing, Lord God, over all those that we care for, all those who are standing, all the evangelists, mighty God, the preachers, the pastors, the ministers in this land and around all the lands, the kings and the queens, who know that you rule and reign. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, that your sacrifice for us was the most powerful day that ever happened in all our lives. And we hope that everybody will come to know of your love. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. We ask for your covering this Wednesday for the American election, for the third round. Be with the candidates. Be with the people. Help the people to decide. Help them to know. But ultimately, Lord, the battle belongs to you.
Amen.
The power and the glory are all yours.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Excellent, Fiona. I think it would be a good idea. The Lord showed us how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And just to finish off by praying together, the Lord's Prayer would, I believe, be a good end to this program. So listeners, thank you very much for joining us. Please do share this program. It will be available at g4g.podbean.com. It will be repeated again tomorrow night, just after 9 p.m. after our Gospel Cafe program. And we will be finishing off now with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as
it is
in heaven.
And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.